Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
I want you to make no bones about it. Your loving Savior that died on the cross and rose again, your loving Savior that took away all your sins and has given you a key into eternity, he is working on something. Your loving Savior that holds none of your sins over you, your loving Savior that has set you free from generational bondage and he's broken addictions over our lives and he's given us so much, he's broke the curse over our lives. He is at work in the earth. Now, my wife talked about it during worship there. There is a move of God happening in Kentucky right now. There is a sovereign move of God happening at a university there where they have been worshiping God 24 hours a day for the last 3 weeks. And people are coming in from all over, and there is just, not for preaching, not for a speaker, not for a certain praise and worship team that is performing. We don't even know the names of those people on the stage. We don't know the names of the preachers on this thing. It is simply people coming around and experiencing the people of God, or the presence of God. And you know, there's people all excited about it, and I'm excited about it. And there's people getting on buses, and they're going there, and they say, oh, this is amazing. But we have to ask ourselves, what's it all for? See, Jesus is doing something, and I'll tell you what it's it all for. Jesus is building his church. You need to understand that your loving Savior that has done so much for you is at work on something. And he wants you to know it is your responsibility and it is your calling to help him. He is inviting you to take place in his greatest burden, which is to build the church. What does it mean to build the church? Well, building the church obviously is not a building, it is people. It is first reconciling people back to God the Father. See, we're all on a rescue mission. We're on a rescue mission to help God be reconciled with his lost children. Now, don't raise your hand because we don't want anybody to call CPS on you. But have you ever lost your kid at the fair, at the mall? Come on, somebody. We've all kind of done it. So like, oh, yeah, I did. Or how about this? You didn't lose them, but you had one of them kids that likes to run off. Come on, I remember, I'm not going to say which one it was, but I remember we had one of them. And when we would go to the mall or a clothing store, they like to run and go hide amongst the clothes. And you'd be looking for a shirt and you, oh my gosh, where are they? And remember that feeling that you would just get, that would just rush over you when one you don't see them. And then you go looking for them and they're laughing in the behind the clothes. See, some of you were that kid when you were a child too, you know. It's the worst feeling. It's the worst feeling to lose your child. Think about how God feels. And he's given us the greatest mandate to help him get his children back. That's how some of you came to the Lord. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody shared their faith with you. And here you are, reconciled with the Father. Well, now the Holy Spirit asks, will you help do the same for somebody else? Now, Matthew 16, 18 tells us that there's a house being built and Jesus is building it. The question you've got to ask is, are you building it? Are you helping him? Now, why is this so important, right? Well, it's because in America today, we have made serving God about us. And it's not supposed to be about us. Serving God is supposed to be about him. And we've made God the blue genie from Aladdin, thinking that he's supposed to answer our prayers and bring our dreams to pass and do things for us because we're his children. Where on the contrary, Jesus came to take away all your sins, all your burdens, all your addictions. And in response, we bow our knee and we give him our life. And we say, no longer, God, do we live for what we want. We live for you. Now, you've heard me talk about this before. There are three references to what we are in the Bible. The first is the term Christian. Now, the word Christian is mentioned twice in the New Testament. It was first mentioned at Antioch, and that's what they called the people there. They called them Christians. There's another term that they use called believers in the New Testament. And that term is used probably 4 to 5 times throughout the scriptures. But there's a third term that we're all to be called, that Jesus himself used, and that was disciple. The word disciple is used 269 times. And the word disciple denotes two things. Number one, it denotes a disciplined one. Number two, it denotes this, a follower of the master. What we have in America right now is we have many people that are believers. Now, before you start patting yourself on the back for being a believer, just know this. The Bible tells us Satan also believes. Demons also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you're patting yourself on the back and being, well, I'm a believer, so's the devil. And he won't be in eternity. Matter of fact, he's got an appointment with the lake of fire that was made not for you and I, it's made for the devil and his angels. That's where he'll be. So can I tell you something? Believing is not enough. Now, there are some that are believers, right? They believe Jesus died on the cross, is the Son of God, rose again, believe that he took away all their sins. And here's what believers do. They go, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. Cool, I'm in. Let me go back to living my life the way I want to live it, doing what I want to do. That's a believer. But a disciple is a completely different thing. And let me just tell you this in case you did not know. You have not been called to be a believer. You've been invited to be a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, which means if Jesus is doing something, I'm doing something. Now, the thing that we see Jesus doing is he's building the church. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should be building the church. Otherwise, you're just a believer. Now, imagine this. How, if I asked you right now, oh, do you love Jesus? You would say, oh, yes, I love Jesus. My life has been changed because of what Jesus has done. I love him so much. Well, picture this, right? Picture the one you love so much over here on the side, constructing, sawing boards, lifting beams, nailing things. And he looks at you and go, hey, can you give me a hand? And you say, oh, no, I'm cool. I got my hands full over here. Come on, church. Which is what a lot of people do. Even though Jesus took all your sins, forgave you of the filth and the lies and the life that you had, wiped it all clean, gives you adoption into the family of God, and now all he asks is you get involved with what he's building. Yet so many of us say no. Well, Pastor, Jesus, I'm sorry, but you know, I got a job over here. I'm trying to climb this corporate ladder. You know, I started from the bottom and I want to be here. I got three kids, man, and this one's got baseball, that one's got gymnastics, and this one's a cheerleader. Jesus, I just ain't got no time for that. Jesus, I'm trying to put my finances in order because we want to go on a cruise next year. And so, you know, good luck with that church thing you're doing. Oh, but Jesus, I'm still in, right? We cool, right? Guys, can you imagine? Can you imagine taking in a house guest at you? Let's bring it home into your life. Could you imagine taking in a house guest and feeding them every day? Letting them use the master bedroom? No. We'll sleep in the guest bedroom. You take our master bedroom. And they come in and you cook for them. You clean for them. They try to say, hey, let me pay for this. And you say, nah, man, it's all good. But a storm comes, your fence falls down, and you go to the guy, hey, would you mind giving me a hand real quick putting this fence up? And he tells you no. Some of you getting mad right now. Ooh, he better not tell me no. And others of you got a picture of somebody in your face. Yeah, that's my cousin. Yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me. That was Pookie. He came over and he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing, Pastor. Remember that feeling. Remember that feeling. This is basically what believers do to Jesus Christ. Let's fix this today. See, in Matthew 16, Jesus makes it clear, this is what I'm doing, y'all. But then the second thing he makes clear is this, I will build my church. And then he pronounces a blessing upon the work. And he says this, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means this, it will not fail. It will not fail. Now, with that blessing, what we should be understanding is that if I can help Jesus what he's building, then the blessing of no failure on my life can come upon me as well. I want to connect my marriage to this blessing. I want to connect my children to this blessing. I want to connect my business to this blessing. I want to understand, I want everything that I'm doing connected to what Jesus is doing. Because what Jesus is doing won't fail. What you're doing doesn't stand a chance against the gates of hell. This marriage that's yours, praying for you. But if I was you, I'd connect this marriage to the church. What Jesus is doing. These kids of yours, without God, they may get a college degree, but they'll also maybe have multiple marriages, heartbreak. There's no promise that the gate, we put everything, won't prevail against that. But when we put everything we have under this blessing, you got to track with me. Things are different. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you won't have problems. Problems will come, but they won't crush you. I'm not saying you won't have problems in your marriage or your marriage is guaranteed to last, because I know good Christian people that their marriage didn't last. But I do know this, whatever happens, they'll come up on top. Because even though the enemy hit my marriage, he will not prevail against me because I'm connected to this thing. And some of you have lived that. You've been divorced, but look at you. You're still standing. Come on, somebody. And you look better than you did in that marriage. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey. I'm not saying that challenges won't come. I'm just saying they won't take you out. If you take Jesus' burden on and you get everything you can connected to his mission. Now, why am I taking time to preach this? It's because Satan has worked overtime to get people disconnected from Jesus' mission. And there's a train of thought that says, well, I'm a Christian, I just don't go to church. And we've made that acceptable. Oh, that's cool. It's not cool. Well, you know, I have my own personal relationship with God. Well, where's that in the Bible? Did you know the term personal relationship with God does not exist in the scriptures? Because it's never supposed to have been a personal thing alone. It's public. It's communal. It's us. What did Jesus say? Hey, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He says, pray like this, our Father. Not my Father. Is he your Father? Yes. Is your relationship with Jesus personal? Yes, but it shouldn't stay like that. It's got to overflow. And Satan has put this idea that as believers, we don't need the church. And he works overtime. You ever have that one friend that tried to get you to hate somebody that they hated? You ever have that friend? Some of you are that friend, amen. I don't like that person. I don't like that person. Well, why? Well, because this, and you know, they got a list of things to try to get you not to like that person. How many have ever experienced that? Well, that's the devil. He got a list of things of what is wrong with the church. Well, I don't go to church anymore because I used to go and the people, they took advantage of me and this thing happened and that thing happened and I didn't have no fun because I was always in church and blah, blah, blah. And Satan's got a list of things to get you to despise the church. I've even seen some people regret serving God at the church and they've disassociated and go, well, I'm not doing that anymore. Deception. Why? Because the thing we're created to do is help our Savior with the church. And so there's a train of thought that says, I don't need church. I don't have to have church. You know, there's sometimes I'll call somebody, hey, say, I haven't seen you in a while. And they'll hit me with this. Well, hey, well, I haven't been there, but I'm praying. And I'm reading my Bible. And me and Jesus are good. And I was like, I didn't ask about all that. But they say that in order to say, I'm good. I don't need that. I'm all right. And I'm just telling you that mentality is evil. It's demonic. We were not created to do life alone. We're created to do life in community, but not just do life. We're created to build the house of God. Let me prove it to you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I'm just laying foundation today. Jesus says, I'm building the church. And then Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, and he says, but if I'm delayed, Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Now listen to what he says, which is the church of the living God. So Paul makes the distinction to us that when we understand the church of the living God, we're talking about the house of God. Everybody say, the house of God. The church in the scriptures is referred to as the house of God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 breaks something down to us that you must catch today as we're in this series, His House, or This House. It talks about our very purpose. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 and 5. It says, coming to him, meaning God, as to a living stone, meaning Jesus, I should say, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God the Father and precious. He's describing Jesus. And then he says this, and you also, look what he says about you. He says, you're living stones. You're being built up into a spiritual house. You're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now let's dissect this verse a little bit. The scriptures tell us here in 1 Peter, remember, Peter was the one that Jesus said, upon the rock, upon the revelation that you have, Peter, I'm going to build the church. And now Peter's writing this, and he's saying this about the church, that you guys all of us, were living stones. Amen? Amen? Amen. Y'all are stoners. No. Something different. That's something different right there. We're living stones, right? We're living stones. And what's interesting about that is this is also in context with what Jesus taught us, with that if you build your house upon the stone or the rock of Revelation, your house will stand when storms hit. When you don't build your house upon the rock, but you build it on sand, the storms will come and great is your fall. Now, Peter takes it a step further and says, not only are you building on rocks, y'all are living stones. And here's what he says about us. You're a living stone and your purpose is to be built up with other stones into a spiritual house. So what the scriptures are telling us, guys, and you need to catch this, this is your purpose. You're a stone. But the problem with some of us is you're a rolling stone. Like Papa. Because y'all know, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. Come on, Temptations, amen. Don't make me do the steps. I'll go there. It's a song by the Temptations, but how true is that? You're a stone that's supposed to be in place building the house of God, because that's what Jesus is building. But instead of being in your place, you're rolling around. Rolling here, rolling there. And that's American Christianity in a nutshell. Oh, Pastor, we go to this church, but sometimes we go over to that church. Because we like this over there, and we like this here. And so two times a month we go here, and then two times a month we go over there. And then some of y'all just rolling around, not even in churches. But some days, Sundays, you roll in here, and another Sunday, you just roll out of bed. Come on. But your place, according to the scriptures, is to be solid in the house of God. And so you think I'm telling you that as a pastor because I just want everybody in church. Guys, I'm just reading the Bible to you. You got to quit being a rolling stone. Rolling stones are ugly. Ain't you seen Mick Jagger? Oh, geez. Keith Richards? Oh, Lord. I'm just joking. You're not supposed to be just rolling around. You're supposed to be in place. Can I just read the Bible to you today? Amen? He says, you're living stones being built up into a spiritual house. That's our place. But most Christians, they're doing their own thing, rolling how they want it. Rolling here, rolling there. Rolling with this person, rolling with this person. Rolling into one bed, rolling into another bed. Rolling into this bar, rolling back out of that bar. If we could just get you to be a stone in the house of God. Here's what will begin to happen. He says, you'll be a holy priesthood. Put that scripture back on the screen. You'll be a holy priesthood. Why is that so significant? Because you got to read the Old Testament. What's significant about that is the priests had access to God. They could go into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. They could commune with God. He says that when you're a living stone in the place you're supposed to be, you are like a holy priesthood. Some of you think you're part of that holy priesthood, but you're just a rolling stone. It might be why your prayers don't get answered. It might be why you don't experience God. It might be why your marriage is eh. Might be why your life is eh. Because you were never created to be out there rolling alone. You're created to be in the house of God. And look what it says here. Yeah, give God a praise. Amen. Sorry. Look what it says. You're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And then it says this, and this is what we need to hear more of in America. Because America has made church a place where it's about you. And it's not supposed to be a place about us. It's supposed to be a place about him. And so he says, we're to gather living stones, which is you. We're to come together and build a spiritual house and be a holy priesthood, which means we have access to God, the presence of God. And then he says this, it should be a place where we offer up spiritual sacrifices. The average Christian mind in America, you know what they come to church to do? Take. I'm going to church and I'm going to get me a word. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to eat spiritual food. All right. I can't wait. Pastor, give me a word today. Pastor, bring it to us. And it's just take, 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 take. Church is really about offering spiritual sacrifices. Your mentality when you come to church, listen to this now. I'm gonna change your life if you get this. Your mentality when you come to church should not be to do a religious duty. It should not be to come and just get a word. I'm coming to church to offer God this week's spiritual sacrifices. What do I mean by that? I mean this, if he's God and he's the Lord of my life and he's on the throne and he's greater than me, then when I come to his house, I should come the proper way. I should come humble. I should come offering him a sacrifice because he's higher, greater than me. But we step to God like, what you got for me, God? Come on, wow me today, Pastor. Come on, knock us down, worship team. Give me something. But the New Testament says, no, the spiritual house, we build this church so that all of us can come and bring something to God. Now, the first thing we bring, and this, guys, there's a reason why church is set up the way it's set up. The first thing we do when you come into the house of God is we praise and worship God. Because the first thing we want to do on the first day of the week, in the first hours of that first day, is come to God and say, here is my praise. You have been so good to me today. I have a job where I make money, that I can buy a house, that I can live in a house, that I can feed my kids. You've given me a job where I have a car. And God, today I want to come to your house and worship you and say thank you. I want to clap my hands. I want to lift my hands. I want to sing with my broke down voice because it's not about me. It's about you. And I get in here and I give God praise. But that's not how we all come in here. Some of us come in here holding our coffee. Come in here, you know, praise God. Oh, who's up on the platform today? Oh, that's some new people over there. Okay. I see what you're trying to do, Pastor. Okay. And you sit there, critique the songs. Observe what's going. What was Miguel wearing today? Did y'all see his shoes? I'm gonna go talk to Audrey. She needed to help her husband. Why is she wearing her hair like that? I can't stand when we do this song. Dang, we do this song way too much. We doing the song again? Dang. It's supposed to be the time where you bring God something and you ain't bringing nothing to him but your complaints. This is church in America today. You know what's even worse? Some people don't even come for the praise and worship. Just smile at me. Y'all know, you know I love you. I hope you know I love you. If you don't know I love you, it was nice knowing you. You probably won't come back. Hope you had a good time today. Because this is what we do when we get to church and we miss half of the praise service. Now, I know things come up. Please, guys, I get it. The baby is thrown up on your shoes. You got to run back in and get it. I get it. Things do happen, right? So I'm not talking about you people, okay? Somebody say, thank God, Pastor, for understanding. Amen. Things happen all the time. They do. I'm not talking about if you come in here, that's the situation. But some of us don't ever come to church on time. And I'm just telling you what you're doing is you're cutting into the real reason you should be here. Real reason you should be here, I got to go give God my praise. I got to give him the spiritual sacrifice of praise. So I'm going to lift my hands, I'm going to move, I'm going to worship, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to sing because he has been good to me. In this house, we want to teach that to you so you understand that you coming into church, you're not going to like everything. Because it's not about you. It's about him. Well, I don't like this song. Well, Jesus loves it. He loves it. He loves when we sing it. And he puts it on Sky's Heart or whoever's leading. Hey, sing that song again. Sing it again. People are tired of it. We ain't singing to the people. So if the praise and worship leader feels like, hey, we need to sing this song again. God's doing something. I just feel it in my spirit. We need to sing this song again. We're going to sing it again. Why? Because it's for him. It's for him. But in America, you know what we do? Oh, I'm going to go to another church that sings songs that I like. In the style that I like. And I'm gonna go over there. That's where oh, Pastor, we're going to church somewhere else. The Lord has moved us on. No, the Lord didn't move you on. You just don't like that our church is not about you. We can't make it about you. We're under a mandate. We gotta make it about him. That doesn't mean we don't love you. Come on, amen? Doesn't mean we don't love you, doesn't mean we don't care about you. We do care about you. That's why we've got to have conversations like this where we go, guys, there's reasons, and we've got to come into church with the right heart, and our heart has to be that I'm here today to give God my spiritual sacrifices. Yes. Yes. And one of them is my praise. One of them is my worship. Now, it goes on to say another word here that we talked about at our team night to all of our volunteers, and that is this. He says, you're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, the term I want you to look at there is acceptable to God. Because there's many people offering sacrifices that are unacceptable. If that wasn't the case, he wouldn't have put that in the scriptures there. And we talked about before, what is an unacceptable sacrifice? An unacceptable sacrifice is when it's your day to serve in kids ministry and you come in like, dang, it's my Sunday to serve. Shoot, I forgot. All right, I'll go back there. Unacceptable. At least I'm here. I'm hearing somebody's thoughts right now. Well, at least I'm here. Yeah, but if you read the Bible, you'll know, especially going through the books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the books you normally don't read because it's got weird stuff in it. One of the things it says in there is that the kind of offering that you give to God is your best. Amen? So when you're serving, come on, you should look your best that Sunday. When you're not serving, come however y'all want. Amen. But if you're an usher, shave that morning. Amen? Come on. Put some soap on it. Amen? Come on. Brush that tooth. Amen? Come on. You come however you want any other time. Because that time, that day that I'm serving, is my spiritual sacrifice. Are you tracking with me today? This is the purpose of the people of God. I'm just reading the Bible to you guys. Let me go on, and I want to close. I only got a couple more minutes. So Peter makes it clear. Your stones, not rolling stones, your stones that are to be gathered and built up into the house of God. And that house should be a place where a holy priesthood is raised up, and that you are supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. It says this: "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation," again, the word of God, "from the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, there's a lot here. Let me break this down to you before I close out right here. So he says, number one, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. You're no longer to be wanderers, going to and fro. This church, this meeting, that meeting. Make it to church once a month. Make it to church when I can. See, you're just a wanderer. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger. He says, no. Not anymore, you're not. He says, now you're a fellow citizen with the saints. And look at the words he uses here. You're a member of the household of God. Now, this is where, as we're talking about this house, this is where this gets real confusing for Americans, right? Because in America, we've lost family values. In America, we no longer are raising our kids. We're letting the internet raise them. We're letting television shows raise them. We're letting the, you know, devices raise them. We're letting the culture raise them because of split families where mom, single mom, is working so hard. And when she gets off of work, she's only got a few moments with her child and doesn't get to put values in there. And mom is doing so much and dad's not around. So mom's doing both jobs, or dad might be around, but mom's being crazy. Whatever it is, the household has been broken down. And so people don't even have a healthy view of what a home is. And so when we say household, that means two different things to two different people. Wow. Your household, when I say household, you get a vision of your household. And come on, some of you know that was dysfunctional. Yeah. Your house put the funk in dysfunctional. Come on. Nothing was regular, right? Yeah. So for some of us, our homes, nothing was normal. We didn't eat dinner at the same time. We could have ate dinner sometime. One night it'll be at 9, other night it'll be this time. We didn't know if we was going to eat dinner. We didn't know what we were going to eat for dinner. Come on, some of us had to get creative. Come on, syrup sandwiches, lettuce sandwich. You ever had a lettuce sandwich? Come on, somebody, you know the struggle. Struggle is real. Syrup sandwich for breakfast. Forget about pancakes and waffles. Just give me some bread and let me just pour some syrup on that. Come on, fried bologna. Come on. Got to pop that bubble in the middle. And it was a treat when you got Mexican hot dogs. Amen? You got Mexican hot dogs? Roll up a tortilla with some weenies. Not even hot dogs, weenies. You get in there. You know the struggle, right? So when we say household, we could be on two different pages, because we don't have the same context anymore. So when we take the word like household and we put it in the Bible, we got to break down what that means. See, in a true household, listen to this, everybody has roles to fulfill. A father has a role to fulfill. A mother has a role to fulfill. Hey, kids have roles to fulfill in a household. And their role isn't just to eat all the groceries. Their role isn't just to make the mess. See, and this is where we have right now parents that don't know how to parent. Listen now, I'm going to help you today. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to help you real quick. And then tell him, but don't get mad. Don't get mad. So this is what happens, right, in a household that is dysfunctional. They don't teach everybody in the household their roles. Your kids got to have a role. In other words, in a household, everybody plays a part. Mija, your part is them dishes. That's your role. That's your part. You eat free. You sleep free. You watch my TV. Come on. You got a phone. Them dishes need to be taken care of every night. I should have got way more amens than that. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. What's in the room right now is soft moms. Oh. Baby, I'll do it for you. You had a hard day at school. Let me clean the room for you. Clean the room for him? Yeah, because mijito's tired. Mijito needs to learn how to clean his room so that he's not 35 and still a mijito in your basement. Because let me try to help some of you what happens, right? When a mother and father don't teach the kids that they have responsibilities and rules too, they don't have a household where they play a part. Guess what they then do? They graduate from high school and they go into society and don't play a part. So when a kid is living in a house where he has to do his chores, or dad comes home and gets on him, when a kid grows up in the health, that's a healthy environment. It teaches him, I have a role to play in society. Are you tracking with me? Teaches them that. If they don't learn that, they think they can get through life with no responsibilities. So they don't want a job. I'll just sell weed. Because if I sell weed, I could sleep late. I could do what I want. I got my own hours. I do what I want. I got no responsibility. That's why some of these kids are out there. They haven't learned. No, no, no. You have a part to play as a citizen. And you want to know whose fault that is. It's mom and dad's fault. Now, for some of us, mom and dad, they were out of their mind. Amen. But for some of you, you had good moms and dads, but you did not follow their pattern because you allowed the culture to take you off course. Teach our kids responsibility. Now, here's what translates into this message in Ephesians, right? Because you've never been taught what it's like to be a household. You live how you want to live, do what you want to. You never had chores, never had requirements. Now you're in the household of God. And guess what? You're the exact same way. You come to this church, but you don't serve. We ask every member to at least serve one Sunday a month, y'all. One. Just one. You come here every week, but you don't do nothing. Offering time comes every single week. And you're like, oh, I'm good. No, you're not good. Because if you were raised right, you would understand in a household, we all play a part. And if we all play a part, the household stays together. When we all don't play a part, there's chaos, right? How many of us were raised in a home with chaos? Kitchen was never clean. Living room, never clean. Bedrooms, never clean. Chaos. You see? Households are important, guys. And I want to encourage you today. Learn what it is. So I'm teaching you this because I realize some of us come from backgrounds where that word household just means I get up in the morning and I go. No. And some of you, even you teenagers, you got to understand if you had a mom or a dad that gave you chores, it's because they loved you. It's because they love you. Amen? Listen, we've got to teach them these responsibilities. I saw a quote recently, and that's this. If you teach your kids responsibility, or actually it's this. If you teach your kids responsibility and you raise your kids, you'll never have to raise your grandkids. I know some of you were raised by a grandma. God bless her. Amen. God bless her. but that shouldn't have been what it was. And I pray to God that you don't have to raise your grandkids, because that's sad. It's sad for the kid, because as much as that child will love you as their grandparent, they're gonna hurt because mom and dad weren't there for them. So grandparents, you know what you need to do? You need to encourage your kids to raise their kids. Don't bail them out of every situation. Oh, I'll take the baby. No, you know what? Mom needs to stay home. She don't need to go to the wedding. She's staying with that child. Well, we'll take him. No, no, no. Mijo needs to stay home on Friday night and be with his son. Got real quiet in this Baptist church. You see, these are part of taking place and teaching household. And when we teach household, we then understand it greater when we come into the house of God. Guys, we have a responsibility to build two houses. Build your house and build God's house.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.